Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Midtown Business Radio.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Midtown Business Radio. Stone, we got a full house here today.
Yes, we do. And as such, I am going to dispense with the normal routine of running down the entire guest list and jump right into it. First up on Midtown Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from JSA Jet Centers Aviation, Miss Lisa Centers McDermott. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
So, Jet Centers Aviation, can you talk about what you guys are doing for folks?
Sure. We help people save money while flying private. You know, it sounds like an oxymoron, kind of like happy divorce, but they're really... There really is a way to save money flying private.
So now, flying private, in my head, I'm picturing that jet's on the runway and you walk up and they're giving you champagne. Is that what it's like?
Pretty much, yeah.
So that's true.
Yes.
Like what you see in the movies is pretty accurate of what a private aviation's like?
Yep. You can pull right up to the plane. You walk up about four steps, and we always do try to have champagne for people right when they get there.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there the customer for private aviation... What does that typically look like? Is it a business person? Is it a celebrity? Is it somebody that, you know, I don't want you to name names of your clients, but I want you to kind of give, I have a family. Is that a possible customer? Because I don't want to deal with going through security and sitting for hours in the airport.
Absolutely. So everybody you named just right there is a perfect client. If you have a dog that you don't want to put underneath, that's a great client.
Oh, so like somebody that's passionate about their pets. That's
absolutely. Go. Somebody that might have an illness that can't, you know, stand up in security for 2 hours.
Right.
If you're a celebrity and you don't, you know, you really need to travel in privacy, that's a great.
But that's like an obvious one, but it goes well beyond that nowadays because it's such a hassle to fly.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So talking about the hassle, you mentioned security. Is the process different? There's probably still some sort of process, yes?
Yes, there is a process. So there is a no-fly list, and we do check everybody off on that before they're able to get on the plane. But you do just need to bring your passport or your ID, and off you go.
And then, so how do you book this? Like, what are the mechanics of this?
Well, if you just need to book a flight, you would call JSA, and one of our client service coordinators would go out and find you the best price for mm-hmm. the plane that you need that day. So, for instance, if you're taking 12 people across to LA, you're going to need a heavy jet or a mid-sized jet. If you need a smaller jet or a turboprop, they'll do that for you, too. And what JSA is we go out and get the best prices for the mission, and we put you on the best plane with the best pilots at the best price.
So now, if like we periodically, we do trade shows where we bring all of our radio stuff to a trade show, and we have a crew typically of 3 or 4 people.
And that's a pain with all the equipment.
Right, and so we have equipment, and you know we have to go out on location somewhere. Now, is that something that we can contact you and say, hey, we're going to Las Vegas in April. There's going to be 4 of us. We have this many pounds of equipment, and then you find us a deal?
Absolutely. We fly a lot of musicians and things like that, so mm-hmm. you can always call us and use us as a resource and sort of price it out, and if the price is right and you want to take the trip, then off you go. And if it's not something that you can do for that particular trip, then file us away and you can take it another time.
Now, is the relationship with you guys, is it membership, or is it something that just case-by-case basis we can check you out?
Well, the great thing with JSA is you can do it case by case. So there are a lot of people that sign up for us for a longer term commitment, but it is not necessary. That's one of the reasons I think JSA has grown so quickly mm-hmm. is because you don't have to sign up for a longer membership. That being said, if you're with another firm and you own a plane or you have a fractional with someone, you can also sign up for our consulting services. So what that looks like is you just pay per hour for expert advice to tell you, you know, when to get in or out of your contract, or should you upgrade to purchasing your own plane, that sort of thing. So there's a full range of anything aviation that we can handle for you.
So how did you fall into this line of the work? Are you a pilot? You've been in this industry for a while. How did you get here, I guess, is my question.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very interesting question and probably too long for today. But I've always loved aviation, so I started flying around on those little, you know, scary prop planes when I was around 21, going back and forth to Nantucket because my boyfriend was a pilot.
I saw that show. Yeah. There's a show like that, right?
Yes. At one point in my life, I was a flight attendant long, long time ago. And for 20 years, I've been in the private aviation industry world. And it really was a dream of mine to sell private jets. So I worked for Warren Buffett for NetJets for over 10 years as a senior VP. So it's been a long journey, and I love what I do. I'm very passionate about it. It's a super fun job.
So now, how do you get the word out and get clients? Like, what is that process like?
Well, you know, that's changed too, because people do know me as the Jet Girl. So because I've been in the industry for so long, they find me, and most of my business comes from referrals.
Mm-hmm. So are you looking to penetrate like the business market or the family or celebrities? Like, what's the target market for
your
clients?
The sweet spot, actually, it's anybody that wants to fly private. So it is a niche market. Mm-hmm. So a lot of companies will have their own planes, for instance, but maybe the CEO, when he wants to fly with his family, will utilize JSA. You know, it is obviously celebrities and sports athletes and things like that. I do have a lot of older people that are infirmed and need to be taken care of really well and make sure that they get to where they need to be. So it's really anybody that doesn't want to fly commercial.
But is the driver the hassle and the time that I'm wasting at the airport, or am I going to save money? Is it anywhere close to comparable price wise?
That's a great question. It is not. So you're never going to really save money going private. So usually if you're asking that question, you're going to have a little bit of sticker shock, because it is right. Very expensive. It can be anywhere from $3,000 on up to $19,000 an hour, mm-hmm. depending on what jet you're taking. So the driver is the convenience, the privacy, you know, the safety and the security to rent your own jet for the day.
And it's not a jet. You have access to jets all over the country, maybe even all over the world, right? I mean, you have this whole network of people that are working with you to access this equipment, yes?
Yes. Actually, there's about 3,500 different jets in the United States that we utilize, and we've just launched our international division with our partner over in Europe. So, yes, there's quite a consortium of jets that we have access to. And again, it's a supply and demand. So when there is, you know, a lot of supply and you go to someone like JSA, you can get a good price on the jet of your choice.
So part of your business is to stay connected to lots of other private jets all over the world.
Absolutely, yes.
And then how do you build those relationships?
Well, thankfully, a lot of those relationships for me are already in place because I've been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, an industry, there's a lot of different trade groups that we're all a part of, and we all sort of conspire to help each other in this world. It is a niche market.
So it's collaborative, because it's a niche market.
Yes. If you are an owner-operator of a jet and you, let's say, have 10 different jets, you want to help people that are like JSA.
Right, because you want to get people. The jets aren't helping you if they're just parked somewhere.
It's like having a condo.
It's exactly like
some
having
of us on another rung of the socioeconomic ladder, right? If your uncle has a condo and he rents it out now and again, right?
It's exactly mm-hmm. like having, yes, a second home that you, let's say you have a beach home and it's not mm-hmm. being rented. You know, you want to network with all the realtors to make sure that your beach home is being rented. Because, yeah, if you have a plane and it's sitting on the tarmac not being used, it's costing you a lot of money.
So now when people use your service, what are typically, and they like it, what are the things that they say to you that to show their appreciation?
Well, I think what JSA does a little bit better than most companies is we are very customer service oriented. So we do always try to have a bottle of champagne unless we know that the people don't perhaps right. drink alcohol. In that case, we try to have cookies. We always, for the dogs, have a special bakery basket of dog eclairs and donuts.
So that's dogs are an important part of this.
Dogs are very important, as you can see in the brochure. They're right on front and center,
front
first page. So we really go the extra mile to make sure that our customers are treated like family.
Mm-hmm. And when someone starts using, maybe what's their reason they're trying you for the first time?
Because one of their friends probably have used me, and they've said, you know, this service was top notch and it saved me money. And I, you know, trust all the providers and the people that mm-hmm. are involved. You know, my husband and I are really very involved in the community. And as I said, I've been doing this for a long time. So I have a lot of customers that have known me through a lot of stages of my life and my career. So right. I have a lot of people that are sort of, you know, supporting me in the background, which has really been flattering and really helpful to me in my career.
Now, I heard a rumor, and you tell me if this is true, that there is a HBO project in place about your business.
Ooh, well, I did sell a show to HBO. It was a half-hour sitcom called Buckhead Betties, and it went into sort of turnaround development. Mm-hmm. And yes, I am working on something that has to do with private aviation, but I can't disclose that at this time.
So how did you get involved in the entertainment business? Just through your contacts? You have funny stories?
Well, actually, I sort of had a event happen in my life when I was... you know, years ago, my best friend was killed in an accident. Mm-hmm. And on a whim, I auditioned for the American Academy of Dramatic Arts and I got in. So I went to acting school for a few years and that's my second love and passion. And I did that. And I also love writing and anything to do with movies or anything like that. So hence how I created Buckhead Betties. And there's an obvious tie in with Jets and the Jet Girl and things like that. I see a funny sitcom.
So everything's connected in some wacky way here.
Absolutely. Yes.
And you found your soulmate. I mean, I know you don't particularly live in the world of Jets, but this whole film entertainment, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
I could see why you're going there. So obviously you are able and willing to cater to a variety of interests and needs. You can customize the package. You know what would be fun if you could afford it, and I'm sure you can.
Yes.
Is if we had like some sort of contest or something and we sent the contest winner to some destination through a service like this. Now, I don't think we'd want privacy. We'd want like, can we order the opposite of privacy package? Like,
absolutely.
Where paparazzi follows them around and stuff.
Absolutely. Although my show will not be reality. It is going to be partly made up in my mind. Sitcom.
So now, so what's next for you guys? How are you looking to expand?
Basically, we, like I had told you, that we just went into the European market. We've also married with a company called U2 Medical, which will really help our older and infirmed clients if they mm-hmm. have a, you know, some medical situation. Also, a lot of celebrities and actors, when they do travel, they need medical attention on the spot. So they might want to take their jet to the filming. Georgia is becoming a very big film,
right,
which has been fabulous.
That's been good for you.
For business, yes. So we have a medical partner that we are marrying with, and we're also going to have wellness meals. So although you can order anything that you want on catering, which is a big draw, you can basically have a tuna sandwich or, you know, shrimp cocktail if you want.
Cheese grits.
Cheese grits are good, too. Although they get cold unless you're on a heavy jet. But, so we're going to have that wellness meals and, you know, drink smoothies, green juice, things like that, if you want to have that on your flight. So that's a really big deal with flying private, too. It's known as it's a much more healthier alternative than mm-hmm. commercial. Because, as you know, when you fly commercial, if you do, I do. I usually get sick after I fly commercial. Right. When I fly on a private jet, I don't, because it's just me and the people I'm with. So, you know, the air is better and you feel better and you can hydrate and eat what you want and drink what you want and watch what you want on TV. So we're going to do that as well.
Is there a pampering aspect to it? Is there opportunities for spa services and things like that?
Well, I mean, I do have to say, every time you fly on a jet, you do kind of feel like a rock star. So it's pampering right there. But you can, yes, order a masseuse if you want. Some people will have a bodyguard. For instance, if I fly someone to Mexico and they don't, you know, they want to have a bodyguard with them, we can assign them, or a special driver, things mm-hmm. like that. So it's pretty much, you know, whatever you want.
Well, Holly always says if you can get over the horse, you can get over the tail. If you're renting a private jet, you can have the masseuse, for goodness sakes.
Well, I didn't know if that's if that's like a package.
She's going to put together whatever you need and want. That's her. She
it's
caters
basically
to what
whatever
you need.
You need and want, yes.
Right, but do you kind of lead that, or do you react to whatever they want, the client?
We fly a lot of families and things like that, so they pretty much, you know, they're pretty standard. You know, yes, it is for, like you said, the celebrities, but there's a lot of businessmen that fly, mm-hmm. a lot of people with their families, people going to take their children to look at schools, or if they have tournaments, or, you know, they're training for the Olympics or things like that.
Right.
So No, I don't try to push any other services like, you know, hairstyling or anything on board. I just kind of go. A lot of my clients, I start to get to know and have a feel for them. A lot of them are very low key and private, and they just really want a safe, easy, fast flight, and they don't even really want to be bothered while they're on there.
Right.
So,
and that's what you guys do.
That's what we do.
So if somebody wants to learn more, is there a website?
Yes, it's www.flyjsa.com. That's JulietSierraAlpha.com. Or they can call 855-235-9572. And if they forget that number, it's 855-2-FLY-JSA.
And you're based here in Atlanta, your company, but you do work all over the world, right?
That's right.
She can be there in a couple hours.
Anywhere.
That's right.
Just about anywhere. Well, thanks so much for joining us. That's very interesting. I don't know when and where Lee feels like he can afford to do this. I don't know if he can do it before the end of the quarter. But this, if nothing else, it's got to be on our bucket list, Lee. We could at least do it once.
Yes, one time we'll do it for you.
I would love to price out a trip for you. Let me know.
There you go. You got it. Hey, you going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I would love to. Thank you so much.
All right. So next up on Midtown, but what is it? Did you put this show together? This is everything's in your wheelhouse. This
it's all
is
things I know about.
Atlanta right? Youth Tennis and Education Foundation, Mr. Former Tennis Coach Lee. We have with us Christina Felton and Matt Olson. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So now you guys are with Atlanta Youth Tennis and Education Foundation. Can you talk a little bit about what you got? Is that part of the USTA?
Yes. ATEF is what we also call it, and ATEF is the 501c3 foundation underneath USTA Atlanta, and we provide after-school and summertime programs that focus on three elements. Obviously, there's a tennis piece of it. We also have a health and wellness piece and our own curriculum, and we serve youth ages 5 to 18 throughout Metro Atlanta.
Are you still using those big balls?
The new yeah. compression balls? Yeah, we are using those.
So the balls are bigger as they're younger?
That was a relatively new development, right?
It is. Actually, they play on the smaller courts, so they have low compression balls.
Wow.
And as they age and get better, the balls become a little bit more normal size. Yeah.
And then what about as people get, sort of up in Lee's age category?
Then they get
big
again, right? The evolution.
At some point, they kind of regress, and they start using the low compression balls again.
Right. It makes sense to me.
So now, you guys have an event coming up?
We do. We have our annual event. This is the foundation's been around for 10 years, but this is the third year we're doing our annual event, and it's our big fundraiser called Serving Winners, and it is on November 8th. We have an evening event, and then November 9th in the morning we're doing our first pro-am.
And when you're doing a pro-am, for our listeners who don't know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The pro-am is comprised of sponsorship teams. So each company that sponsors a team will have two players from the company participate. And then we've gathered up a group of local celebrities and also tennis pros, some that are playing on the ATP tour and some college players. And they'll actually play in what's called a round robin. So everybody for 2 or 3 hours will get to play against everybody. And the team that has the most points at the end of the morning will win prizes. And it'll be very social and fun.
So who are some of the pros? Is the list out yet? The tennis pros are a little flaky, so they may not show up there.
It's been a lot of work, but we're very happy that Bobby Reynolds, who lives in Atlanta, and he's been ranked as high as number 63 in the world, just played at Wimbledon against Novak Djokovic, had a great match. Super nice guy. He's going to participate in the event. And we're also hoping that local favorite Robbie Ginepri will be playing. It's a little bit tough. It's the end of the tournament season
right
for the players, so a lot of them want to come, and they are semi-committed.
Because a lot of them are based here, or at least have a presence here throughout the year.
Well,
Lisa
will fly them in. Just tell us who you
exactly.
want. We'll get them here.
Definitely.
We are already thinking that. We keep looking at each other.
Sign her up.
but it is some of the guys are and girls are still playing in the last couple tournaments of the year, but but we've also got. We're really excited, too, that one of our former honorees by the name of Karen Korb, who's a 2-time Paralympic athlete and has played tennis all around the world, she's going to come back and participate in the event and play in the pro-am. And she's just one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. So,
and there'll be local tennis pros here?
Local tennis pros, too. We have also some of the college players, Georgia State University is going to send us two guys that were their first ever NCAA singles and doubles tournament players last May. So we're really excited about that as well.
All right, so there's the good tennis, but there's got to be food involved too, right? This is a gala. So, talk to us about the balance of this event.
Let's focus on the food.
Sure. We're actually the evening before on November 8th, Friday, the event runs from 7 to 10, and there is it's actually at the new Lifetime Athletic Peachtree Corners. They just went through a $25 million renovation. It's a diamond property, so it's really – the space is just gorgeous and really built out lovely. And so we're doing, obviously, food and drink that night, and it's also on that whole wellness because they're catering it there for us. So their Life Cafe is doing all the food. And then we have a silent and live auction as well. And then if anyone remembers, I'm sure Yvonne Monet is going to DJ and do that for us too that night.
Now, what are some of the auction items you guys got? Tennis memorabilia?
Memorabilia, yes. We have plenty of that. In fact, we hope to have things from John Isner and Sloane Stephens, who's the number 15 player in the world. We're also going to go old school with Andre Agassi, Arthur Ashe memorabilia. We have a lot of tennis trips and experiences in Seaside, Florida, Hammock Beach. We also have a weekend getaway to North Georgia Mountains. Also, Elton John VIP experience coming up at Atlanta.
Right, he's a big tennis.
He's a big tennis player.
Right, does he play Alta or did he ever play Alta?
I know that he, I don't know if he did play Alta, but I know he plays a lot down at Georgia Tech. So if Elton, if you're listening, just.
he is an avid fan of the show.
Yes, go to servingwinners.org and you can reach out to us. We also have a NASCAR VIP experience.
Now we're talking.
There you go.
He finally got his attention.
Something for everybody. And we're going to. Beyond the celebrities and the pros that will be playing auction items, we're constantly updating our website, servingwinners.org, and also on Facebook, Serving Winners Awards. You can go there, and we're sending out new information every day.
So now, outside of this event, what other activities are you guys doing, like kind of on a weekly basis? Are you like in the parks, or where are you guys mostly doing your work?
Well, we're actually...
No, please.
Okay. One of our awardees that we're honoring this year is actually the Boys and Girls Club of Metro Atlanta, and they've been a big partner with us through the years. So we do a lot of it. We have several after-school programs at Boys and Girls Clubs, Atlanta Parks and Rec.
Elementary schools.
Now, I always thought I was involved in the tennis industry many years ago, and I always thought tennis is one of the great sports for kids because it's a sport they can play their entire life. You know, like how many 50-year-olds are playing, you know, baseball?
And you know, considering everyone I know who plays soccer still keeps getting, like, knee replacements.
Right.
Yes.
But my dad's, like, 88, and he still plays tennis. So is it hard for you to attract kids into the sport, though? There's, you know, the sexiness of the sport isn't there with, you know, kids watch the NBA and they see all these sports on TV, and tennis just doesn't seem to, you know, grab the kids like the other sports do.
I think with the change of the court sizes and the balls, just some of those things they've changed in the last couple of years really have more kids have been attracted to the sport, and it's been out there more in the community. I mean, we're out there more in the community bringing the sport that involves other aspects, I mean, with it.
Right.
I mean, there's a health and wellness piece of it, and then our curriculum builds in well also, so it all mixes together.
Can you get, like, uniforms? I always thought that was lacking in tennis. For a kid. I mean, a kid, part of why they play baseball is they all got the uniform.
Right, and you played for, like Joe's Bail Bonds or whatever.
Yeah, we have a USTA Junior Team Tennis program that you can get uniforms to. And, but you're right, though. I mean, you can play tennis for a lifetime, and with the new equipment, and we have nets that we can go and set up in a gymnasium in a parking lot. So
it's not constrained to tennis courts, and when some environments are not – I mean, Atlanta's kind of weird in that there's – you know, every neighborhood has like 10 tennis courts in it.
Yeah, you know, Atlanta is the greatest tennis city in the world. More people play recreational tennis here than anywhere. Uh-huh. So we are very unique and lucky in that respect.
So you two, you're primarily tennis people that found a calling in the foundation world. You're foundation people really invested in kids who also enjoy tennis. Or how did this all unfold?
I used to teach tennis as well, and then I came to work for USTA 17 years ago. But always loved working with kids and providing opportunities for them. The foundation started about 10 years ago as part of the Greater Atlanta Intercity Games, which was a legacy left over after the Olympics. And we were one of the non-traditional sports that was introduced to kids in the inner city. When that went away, we continued doing our programs, became a 501c3, and today we're at 25 different sites with about 2,500 kids that are participating, and it's just one of the most rewarding things that we do, and that's how the event evolved, and we want to, you know, grow this event as much as possible. We're in our third year, and serving winners will help raise money to expand our programs to more and more sites and reach more kids.
So you're looking for sponsors in terms of businesses to participate and attendees and to participate in the actual event?
Yes, definitely. We still have two pro-ams team spots left. Mm-hmm. So some of them can participate in that way. Overall sponsors as well, in general, are always appreciated. And then, you know, just moving forward, even in after this event, you know, we have other things that go on throughout the year. So.
Right. Now, if somebody went to learn more, how about the website again?
It's servingwinners.org, and then the Facebook is Serving Winners Awards.
All right. We got a room full of winners in here today.
I think so.
Thanks so much for coming down and hanging out with us. And we got to have you back sometime and kind of give us a
recap.
Yeah, a recap, how it went and that kind of thing. We're serving 2,500 kids. That's incredible. That has to be incredibly rewarding work.
It is. Yeah, we're actually going to have the kids at the event this year, too, to kind of let everyone see them play and
terrific.
Everything.
All right.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, you're more than welcome. And the offer to come back, that's quite sincere. You going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Definitely.
Definitely.
All right, Lee, as I continue to assert, I've got to believe you put this entire show together. We have with us from the Women in Film and Television Atlanta, Miss Cheryl Jenkins, the Grand Poobah, the president. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Have you learned anything from the first couple of segments today?
Yes.
We got you fired up about taking a private jet to the gala, right?
Yes. I was thinking.
And probably you're excited about the selling of the show to HBO.
I was, yes.
All right, so remember, stay in front of the mic and tell us a little bit about Women in Film and Television, what you guys are up to.
Well, Women in Film and Television is all about improving the status and portrayal of women in the film and television industry. So we're there to help with education and training and really just to support women in this media. We're getting ready to have our 39th gala.
So you've been around for 39 years?
39 years. We're the second oldest chapter in the world.
No, they're on number three and you're on number 39.
No, I didn't. That's fascinating.
You're a woman in television and film.
You're a woman.
Well, you are.
Yeah,
you
it's
really
great
are.
To know.
So I'm going to need you to co-host this segment with me.
Great.
You have real life experience, right?
Yeah, I'd love to, yeah.
All right. So how do you encourage women to get involved?
Well, we just want to be behind women. We want to make sure that they're being properly trained. They're ready for actually what's going on here in Atlanta. As we know, the entertainment industry is just prospering here, and more projects are coming from Hollywood. I'm actually a product of Hollywood, and I personally am on a mission to get the people here in Atlanta Hollywood ready. So instead of Hollywood using producers and directors and so forth from Hollywood in New York, let's try using some local talent because Atlanta really is rich with talent.
So now there's people here in Atlanta that would are you talking about just actors or are you talking about like the whole scope of the lighting and the accountants and the you know the producers
because
the film industry is much more than I mean if you watch the credits of any movie or TV show there's hundreds if not sometimes thousands of names on there
exactly and we have to remember that there are probably about 20 or more productions happening in Atlanta at one time. So it's this.
Is that true?
Oh yeah,
20.
This
there's a lot. There are a lot.
There are more.
Dumb and Dumber's filming right down the street from my office right now.
I mean,
it is Jim Carrey. It's great.
My wife said that like Fast and Furious was filmed. Yeah. Like my wife works at Coke, and she said they blocked off the streets for like the next Fast and Furious movie.
The economic impact of the entertainment industry was $3.5 billion last year.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's growing. It's huge, and studios are opening all over Atlanta and Georgia.
Because they changed all the tax laws, so they made it much more. Mm-hmm. It's attracting a lot of mm-hmm. producers and actors and movies because all of the tax laws are so advantageous to the industry now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that a lot of reality shows are filmed here, but it's expanded to movies and scripted shows as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, HBO just produced a pilot here. So
you knew that? Was that your pilot? Or is that
we're
being secretive about that still. But so the tax incentive really has worked then.
Absolutely.
And then, mm-hmm. So do you know where we rank in terms of production? I'm sure yes. California is number one by far, but are we moving up the ladder in terms of
absolutely. We're in the top five.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The nickname is the Hollywood of the South for
really?
Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Now, Tyler Perry has a whole studio here, right?
Yes.
Does he film all of his things actually get filmed here? Or
For the most part. Some things do get filmed in Los Angeles, but for mm-hmm. the most part.
So all of his, he produces a bunch of shows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he's producing shows for own Oprah Winfrey's network mm-hmm. as well.
Oh, so that's helping grow her network, and it's getting a lot of actors and actresses and production people getting work here.
Yes, exactly.
So now, for your organization, what is it that on a day-to-day basis you guys are doing?
Well, we're putting on programs, advanced workshops. Right now we're getting ready to have our 39th gala. And I wanted to backtrack a little bit because you asked me about the significance of it. And this year we have a great lineup of people that are going to be at the gala. I know everybody's into Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah. Well, you were because now it's gone. They broke.
Right, exactly,
it broke bad.
Exactly. Well, if you don't know about it, then you're watching it. So we actually have the executive producers from Breaking Bad that are going to be at our gala. And they're producing their third project here in Atlanta. They produced Rectify. Mm-hmm. And now they have another show called Halt and Catch Fire. So this year we're really trying to focus on people that are significant in Atlanta.
Are they? What's their connection to Atlanta?
They're producing this show?
Mm-hmm,
their third project. Wow. So like they keep coming back.
Right. Because Breaking Bad, that was in, I think, New Mexico.
Yes, you're right.
But mm-hmm. so then they said, enough in New Mexico, I'm going to come to Atlanta. Right?
Exactly. We can get everything we need here.
But when you've got 39, how do you plan for a 39th gala? Our last guests are doing their third or something like that. How do you stay fresh and do something cool the 39th time around?
Well, you know what? We have to just
keep raising the bar, right?
Exactly. So, like I said, so we have the Breaking Bad producers. We have Jasmine Guy.
She was on the Cosby Show, right?
She was on A Different World.
A Different World, yes.
And, she's been directing plays all around Atlanta recently. How many people watch The Walking Dead? Yep. They just got 16 million.
Right, that was like number one cable show.
There's two teenagers in my house who watch it.
I know. So Melissa McBride, she's actually Carol on that particular show. She's from Atlanta. She's been serving the community for years as a casting director and an actress, and she's going to be honored as well. So we have a great lineup. Maria Howell, she's worked on Devious Maids, The Hunger Games, Revolution. So we just took our time and wanted to dedicate this to people who are just doing great things in the entertainment industry.
Now, how did somebody participate in this group as a whole? Like, are women, you want women to join the organization?
Yes.
That's one of your missions?
Yes. We want women to join the organization. Right now, it's real simple. All you have to do is go onto the website and you can join. In the very, very near future, we're going to be changing that criteria because we want to, make it available to people, but we want to offer some exclusivity and really get people who have been in this entertainment industry for years to be able to network with the same caliber.
So is the typical member, are they actors or are they kind of behind the scenes people?
They're everybody. Uh-huh. Everybody. Even me, I'm a production accountant. I keep my eye on the money. I manage budgets on film and television shows. So, you know, I joined the organization to be able to connect with other people.
Now, is it film and television? So it's not like TV commercials. That wouldn't be appropriate for this group?
No, it is. It really is. All media, all moving images.
So now what's coming up next for you guys after the gala?
After the gala, we're going to plan for the 40th year.
Oh, I know. Well, that one, you got that better be a blowout because the 40 is a big deal.
I know.
Well, it probably does take a year to plan, though, all kidding aside, right? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yes. Yes, it really is. And that's the thing that I really learned this year, that it really does take a whole year.
So where's the gala at this year?
It's going to be at the Georgia World Congress Center.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so how many people do you expect?
We're expecting around 300 people.
300 people?
Mm-hmm.
And is it a kind of a dinner type thing?
Yes, it's a dinner. We actually still have tickets still available. Today is actually the last day to get dinner, but after that, we'll have tickets just for people who just want to come and experience.
Uh-huh. And then it's open to the public or only members of the group?
No, it's open to the public. It's a fundraising opportunity for us. So we want to let people know about the organization. And so we just invite everyone to attend.
Is there a silent auction component?
Yes.
And so you got good stuff too?
Yes.
What do you got?
Well, of course, it's going to be all entertainment
I know.
Stuff,
so that's cool. So what's some of the stuff you got?
It's a date with Lee Cantor. How much do you want to go for?
You're going to dress somebody as a zombie and get them on The Walking Dead. I'm sure you get some big bucks for that.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have exciting budgeting and scheduling software.
Wow. I wouldn't have led with that.
Know, right? Is your PR person here?
I know. But you know what? That's like $1,000
No,
products.
No.
That's major. We need that. Okay. So, I mean, we have some weekend getaways and autographed baseball and
you got,
why'd you ask me this?
Come on. Is Jasmine going to come to my house and tell me some stories about different world? You know,
she's going to tell you a story when she accepts her award. For 5 minutes, exactly.
All right. It'll be well worth it.
Okay.
All right. So if somebody wanted to learn more and get tickets for the event, where is that at?
They can go to www.wifta.org. So that's www.wifta.org.
Man, galas, celebrations, food,
everybody's
frivolity.
Got a party going on.
Well, hey, we're just getting started here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. No kidding, though. We're just getting started. Lee, next up, we have back with us in the studio, Dale DeCenter with Taste of Atlanta. How you doing, sunshine?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I don't know how you don't weigh 350 pounds in your line of work. I know I would. You've got to be incredibly busy right now, yeah?
Yes, this is a busy time for us, but it's a lot of fun, too.
That's right. You got Taste of Atlanta, one of the premier food events by far in this city, if not the region. I'll go beyond Atlanta.
There you go. You know, just like everybody else has said, I mean, Atlanta is where you need to be. That's great food, great entertainment, great women. What more do we want?
I know. It's got, everybody here kind
See,
of
I
relates.
I would have gotten in trouble if I'd have said that last thing. I'm glad you said that because I agree.
Okay. So now Taste of Atlanta, what number are you on?
We are on number 12.
Number 12.
Hoping we're pushing for number
40. 40, right?
You bet.
So now, Taste of Atlanta, last year, or at least a couple years ago, you were here in Atlantic Station where the studio is, but this year you moved down the road a bit, huh?
Well, you know, we moved about 5 years ago because we outgrew Atlantic Station.
Uh-huh.
It was a wonderful place to be and love it. Always love to come back, but Tech Square at 5th and Spring is where it's going to be this year, next weekend.
Next weekend. And this event, why don't you recap for everybody what they can expect when they try to get downtown?
Getting downtown is very easy, very easy. We do that. We
plan
for
that. But you block down Midtown.
Well, you know, we block off a few streets, but, you know, there's so much parking in Midtown. Midtown is the place to be. It's a wonderful neighborhood, the center of Atlanta. We have even the MARTA stop at the North Avenue station. So it is a quick little two-block walk from that station. So, you know, it's an awesome event. It's 100 restaurants over 3 days. We start start October 25th, 26th, 27th. The prices are very reasonable. You certainly couldn't eat out for the price of the event. Friday night, we've got our Taste Revival, which is all-inclusive, all-you-can-eat, drink, live music, awesome time. 17 amazing chefs from Atlanta, really a who's who of culinary greatness, I would say. And it's $70 for a general admission ticket and $95 for a VIP. Awesome, great way to spend the night on the Fifth Street Bridge overlooking the city of Atlanta. Then we have on Saturday and Sunday, we have general admission tickets at just $30 and VIP tickets at $75. Again, the event is all about the Atlanta restaurants. We are showcasing amazing food, but we're also showcasing four live cooking stages where you'll see the chefs in action. You'll actually get to meet with the chefs and eat with them. I think it's, you know, just a great way to get to know our culinary city.
And it's a great way to sample all those restaurants you've been considering, maybe on the fence, and this is a great way to kind of get a feel for what they're about, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the tastes are pretty generous sizes. So, you know, you can come and taste 10 different restaurants and not break the bank.
That's right. And then you get to, a lot of times, talk to the chef.
All the time, right? You know? I mean, we call it the best eat-and-greet festival you can go to. So Atlanta chefs are very hospitable. They're all about talking and sharing their mission, their goals, their food, their love of the business. And I think that's what's so neat about it is that, you know, you can get in there and shake hands with Kevin Gillespie. You can shake hands with Kevin Rathbun and Ford Fry and Ron Eister, and I mean the list goes on. So if you're a remote foodie or just even want to try some restaurants you've never been to, it's just a great way to get a taste.
I did not get a call, and I think we've all shared with our listeners over the last two shows the coffee rub pork loin.
You didn't mention that.
Well, I stole it from McKendrick a little
bit. We had Chef Tom from McKendrick's was on a show, and he mentioned a coffee rub. And so, Stone, why don't you share your story?
Well, again, I'm certain that mine's probably not quite as sophisticated as Chef Tom's, because it's just the least expensive coffee that Kroger sells. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool to just see if this works? And it was delicious. We were bouncing off the walls for the next 3 hours. I think it added to the caffeine count, but it really did turn out good.
But that's what's neat about having, when you have a relationship with the chef, they throw out these tips like...
Yeah.
It is. And you know, the neat thing even about the festival is that for all the cooking demos that happen on the different stages, you get recipe cards.
Oh, wow.
And you get a recipe card to take it home. You can try it yourself. You can get those little insider tips. So even, you know what? One thing we started 2 years ago was something called the Kitchen Workshop, and it's actually a live cooking class all day. So the tent seats about 40 people for each cooking class. It's done by the Cook's Warehouse, and it's taught by an Atlanta chef. So, and it doesn't cost anything extra. It's free. It's a complimentary
right. So
once you come in.
Even if you're resting, you can hang out there and learn something.
Absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
Go back out there. Taste more stuff.
Exactly. We've got a couple of good ones. I mean, one is one all about Kraft mac and cheese, and that's not a K-R-A-F-T, but that's a C-R-A-F-T. You know, there's so many different ways to make mac and cheese, and how can you make it a little different that doesn't come from the box? Again, we are all about healthy eating as well. We have Eating the Alphabet on our Family Food Zone stage. You know, there's just so many great things that Atlanta has, that Georgia has. We're promoting our Georgia farmers. We want people to buy local, eat local. Again, eat local restaurants. And we have more Zagat-rated restaurants in Atlanta than most cities in the country, only except New York. It is incredible. Most people don't know that. Most people think that we're just fried chicken and and grits, but we know better.
That's right.
An international food city. We have the best Indian food, Thai food, Chinese. It's incredible. So
now, talk about the music element, and that's an important component to what you guys are doing this year, right?
It is. You know, I think these days what people are looking for is, you know, ways to sort of make memories. I think that people remember what they ate, where they ate it, but they do the same thing with music. And so we decided, why not meld the two together? We're working with Ron Eister from Rosebud, who has a real passion for music, along with many, many other chefs as well. And so our Friday night party is called a Case Revival, local chef Smoke and Jams. And all of the tastes that the chefs will be cooking are named after a song. So it's a sort of a southern rock, a southern rock sort of festival. And, you know, Joe Schaefer from King and Duke is doing Denver lamb ribs, pickled fall squash, and charred greens. And his song that inspired him was Mary Had a Little Lamb by Stevie Ray Vaughan. So it is so cool, the whole thing. I mean, Adam Evans from The Optimist is doing octopus and smoked chicken thigh skewers inspired by Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. So all of the music and all of the food items will be paired together. And again, we look at our Atlanta chefs as our Atlanta rock stars. I think that they're the ones that are tooting the horn of the city, and they're the ones really promoting the economic development. It all starts in the restaurants.
Now, there's also a neat nonprofit kind of component to this as well. Because there's a lot of tasting, and there's a lot of food, but there's also a need in this city. Hunger is an issue in this city, and it's kind of surprising that a city of this size and a city that's as generous as ours that would have this issue. And you guys try to address that, don't you?
We do. Every year we are all about our nonprofits, and we do work with five or six of them. But we have two major nonprofit organizations that we work with. Our Friday night event is really partnering with Georgia Organics. Georgia Organics is a nonprofit organization that connects Georgia organic farms to Georgia families. Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very important to our city and our state. Another one is Share Our Strength, which is under the heading of No Kid Hungry. They have an organization here in Atlanta, an arm that does projects called Cooking Matters. And Cooking Matters really helps families shop for and cook healthy meals on a budget. So it's really about working with the local underserved families who need more assistance to show them how to do it and teach them hands-on ways to save money and eat healthy.
Right.
So,
and so that's what's great about your event. There's education. I mean, the tasting is fantastic just for anybody who's even, because you're overwhelmed by choices here. I mean, we have a luxury of choices, and here's a great way to try lots of them without committing to going for bringing the whole family. You can go and taste them all in one place. And then you have a whole thing where you're giving back so that none of the food is really wasted and that everything is being kind of recycled through the community, and then everybody's benefiting from this.
Correct. And again, if there is any food left over, which sometimes that doesn't happen, but we work with the Atlanta Community Food Bank and Atlanta's Table, and all of the leftover food does go to sources in the community who need food desperately. So we're very proud to work with them as well.
All right. So where can our folks go to learn more?
Anybody can go to tasteofatlanta.com.
And are there still tickets for the revival?
Are some tickets that are still available for that, but you really want to get those quickly because those will sell out. That is a smaller, more intimate, all-inclusive event, so you want to get those tickets soon.
And then you can pre-buy the taste tickets, right? Or do you have to go there and buy them
you get there? Well, when you buy a ticket for Saturday and Sunday, when you arrive at the gate, you're giving your taste coupons, correct?
But you can buy more
absolutely, yes, you can, for just $1 a piece.
How many more are you planning on buying?
I eat a lot. I would spend the day.
I know you do, and it's a fantastic event, and we're all looking forward to it. Thanks for coming back and getting us updated on it.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, hang out with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
You bet.
Lee, we could all use more friends.
Yes.
And we are now going to visit with a gentleman from Friends of Georgia State Parks. Welcome to the show, Mr. Damon Kirkpatrick. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, although I'm not sure I wanted to follow Dale because now I'm hungry.
Isn't that the truth? You have been very patient. I don't know if I saw you taking any notes or not, but I saw a lot of nods, and I saw you listening intently. What do you think so far? I know it's getting a little warm in the studio with 22 people in it, but... what have you learned?
Well, I think it's been a great experience, and listening to the film industry in Georgia, which is directly tied into some of our state parks, and food as the economic driver. Some of our state parks are huge economic drivers for the community, too. So I think it's really interesting how we all here are so well related in promoting Georgia.
So now talk about the Friends of Georgia State Parks, and it's also historic sites as well, which there's quite a few.
Absolutely. We are the nonprofit that helps support the state park system throughout Georgia. We have 63 parks, 64 sometimes, depending on how you count them. And throughout Georgia, those parks are within an hour's drive of just about anybody in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So they have lots of needs, trail cleanup, some of the things that you would normally think of volunteers handling. But lately, because of economic issues in Georgia, we all know that the economic downturn hit Georgia pretty hard, and our state parks were part of that. So some of their needs have grown, and as the needs have grown, so has our organization.
So do you have the day off, or you're not in that?
Are you in the shutdown?
I don't ever get the day off. No, Georgia state parks are open. Let's be clear. State parks, not national parks.
So now, maybe educate us a little bit about what are some of the Georgia state parks that maybe we didn't know were Georgia state parks as opposed to national parks?
Sure. One of the most popular state parks that a lot of people don't really know if it's national or not is the Little White House, Roosevelt's Little White House in Warm Springs. Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate to have that presidential connection right here in Georgia, and it's an overlooked site sometimes for locals. It's a lot of tourism from outside the state comes in to visit, but it's one of the best-kept secrets over in that part of Georgia.
So now, you're the director of operations and development, and you're here. You're in Cartersville. That's where your office is?
Right. Our office is in Cartersville, right near Red Top Mountain State Park.
So now the parks are throughout the entire state. How do you manage something that large?
Well, we work as primarily the volunteer organization, and we have a system of chapters around the state. We've got over 50 chapters, so almost every park has a volunteer chapter locally.
Uh-huh. Oh, so like kind of each chapter adopts each park, or
that's
it works
correct.
With that specific
that's exactly
park, so
how
that
it
way
works.
You can that way you know what the needs are.
That's right. That's right. And I work at the statewide level to help those chapters be able to do what they want to do, which is mm-hmm. dig in the dirt, make things better, volunteer, and help the park that they support.
So you're the private jet guy.
I wish. But it is a lot of work to keep all of those chapters organized and doing what they do. And,
right.
and like I said, over the past few years, as the needs of the park system have grown, our organization has also grown, and as we've gotten larger, tackling some of those new challenges has been interesting, keeps us busy.
So now how do you tackle this? How do you like get people involved and engaged with each of these individual parks? Because I'm sure some parks are sexier or maybe have a higher profile than other parks.
Certainly. We connect with people in a lot of different ways. Of course, we're all over social media. That's a huge connection point for us because we have parks, some of our parks, the more well-known ones near Metro Atlanta, you know, people know about those. But then we've also got parks in southern Georgia that don't get quite the visitation because of the rural communities. Most of our parks are actually in some of Georgia's most rural communities. So we try to stay really well connected with those communities. We have our volunteers reach out to local businesses and other local community organizations to try and stay connected with that community to help support the park. Because one of the things that a lot of people don't think about, you think of pretty parks and waterfalls and trails and lakes, fun recreation opportunities, but Georgia State Parks are really economic drivers for the communities that they're in. There are several communities where the state park is the attraction for that community.
Right.
And as the tourist attraction, you know, the park brings in a lot of money for those local communities. And we try and help people understand how important parks are, not just to have great places to recreate, but also for the local economy.
Now, how do you educate your heads of those chapters to go out into the community and build the relationships that they need to keep the whole operation funded?
Yeah, that's one of our biggest challenges. We work really hard as the central statewide organization to help make sure that our chapter leaders are educated in the ways of volunteer recruitment, retention, all of those things that a more centralized nonprofit has a little bit easier time doing.
Right.
Because we're so diverse and spread out, we do try to get together once a year for a conference to help train everybody so we can swap stories and learn from each other so nobody's reinventing the wheel. And we try to find great technology solutions to help do that. Anything we can do to help leverage our donors' money. You know, we really look at our donors as investors, and we're providing a return to them in the increased value at their state park. So when we look at a solution, we look really hard at the value that we can get out of it and how we can make it stretch to all of our chapters.
So I want to learn more about this donor thing, because I guess I always had this in my mind categorized as all tax dollars. But talk more about this donor program.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the state parks actually get their funding from two main sources. They have legislative funding that comes directly from the Gold Dome, where the legislators allocate a certain amount of funds to operate the parks. The other big source of money that they have is the revenue that they generate through camping fees, entrance fees, those kinds of things. But with the economic downturn, the budget that has come from the legislature, just like many other areas in the state, has been reduced significantly over the past few years. So they're finding, instead of what we used to provide as far as the nonprofit, we used to provide support for some of the extras, some of the interesting programs, those kinds of things. And now our organization and our chapters are working hard for some of the things that you would consider much more basic needs. We had a chapter in North Georgia that was responsible for fundraising to fix a plumbing problem, believe it or not, because those are the needs that the right. parks have. And because we are all passionate about our parks and the parks that we support, we'll fundraise for whatever it is that they need and support whatever's broken.
Now, your background's in technology.
Yes, yes.
How have you been able to leverage that technology background to improve the infrastructure of this operation?
Well, as I started as a volunteer about 11 years ago or so, the organization was much smaller than it is, but was starting to enter into a growth period where we had some significant issues keeping up with who the members are, managing our donors, reaching out to our supporters, those types of things. And with the technology background, I volunteered.
Who has a technology background?
I volunteered.
Oh, Damon does. Yes. Damon volunteered.
I volunteered to just do some basic website improvements, some database upgrades, those types of things. And, you know, as they say, one thing led to another.
Once you start peeling back that onion, there's a lot.
That's right.
The problems started multiplying, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. The technology onion runs thick.
So now that you have been able to implement some of this cloud technology, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That had not been there previously.
No, our most recent implementation, one of the ones that we're really proud of right now, is a centralized accounting system for all of our chapters. Mm-hmm. You know, as a nonprofit, and there are several other in here, as a nonprofit, we all know that funding is hard to come by. So when we have to look for new solutions, we look very hard for the absolute perfect solution at the best price. And we recently implemented an accounting solution from Aplos Software that allows all of our chapters to manage their accounts, but also gives us at the state level instant visibility to all the funding that they have. And just in the month that we've been on it, we've already identified two areas where we have opportunities that we didn't realize that we had.
It's funny how that works, huh?
I know. As soon as you can see it, you know what's there. It makes a big difference. So we're real excited about that. That and we use a lot of other open source technology to try and leverage our donor dollars as much as we possibly can.
So now what's your greatest need? Is it dollars? Is it volunteers? Is it both?
We are always looking for new volunteers, always. We run at about 6,000 volunteers on average, and we just finished our largest volunteer day of the year, which was your State Parks Day a couple of weekends ago, where we got about 3,000 volunteers out all on one day. So we always need volunteers, but right now funding, of course, is our big concern, and we're always looking for corporate partners and community partners to help us fund and support the parks.
And they need films to be made, right?
Absolutely.
But that actually happens, right?
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned that
yeah.
in the conversation.
Absolutely. Hunger Games just wrapped up filming at Sweetwater Creek State Park.
Oh, really?
So they have to reach out to you to get permissions?
They reach out to the park system. Yeah, we're separate from the park system, but the park system does have a film department that they work through to help.
But they write a check for this, yes?
Absolutely.
Way
absolutely.
Cool.
Do they ever go, it was great, here's even more money than...
Unfortunately not. Maybe because of all the business software she's giving away. I don't know. But it is a huge... With Georgia's film industry, our state parks do offer, especially considering that Georgia is mountains to the sea, just about every ecological system, we have one. We have swamps and waterfalls and everything in between. So there is a lot of great opportunities for filming here in Georgia.
All right. Now, if somebody wants to learn more, is there a website?
Sure. I'd love for them to visit friendsofgeorgiastateparks.org. That's friendsofgeorgiastateparks.org. And you can learn all about it. And we've got some great opportunities for funding and community partners if anybody wants to sign up and join us as we support all of Georgia's greatest treasures.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton and all of our guests here today. Thank you very much. And we will see you all next week on Midtown Business Radio.